Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Well, it's something every Christian ought to be doing, right? I mean, we're enjoined by Christ to pray, and he even makes these great and almost unbelievable promises. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask according to his will, says the apostle, your prayer is heard and answered. But that's not how we pray. We don't pray as though God is always listening and always answering. We pray more often than not as though we either have a laundry list of things to lay before him. About 50% of it he's going to seriously consider. The rest of it he will dismiss out of hand, or as though we're wasting his time or asking for too much of his attention. How should Christians pray, and why do Christians pray? Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest for the last 10 minutes of this hour. He's associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, editor of Higher Things magazine, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things titled Father Knows Best, The Power of Prayer. Tim, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be back.
Look, Jesus says your Father already knows what you need before you ask him, so why pray?
Yeah, well, we pray because God wants to hear us pray so much that he commands us to do so. Even though he already knows what we need, he still wants to hear us ask for what he wants to give us to speak his promises back to him. And how wonderful it is that God defines prayer as a child asking his father. It could have been a peasant asking a king, have I made myself worthy? It could have been an employee saying to his boss, have I done enough to get you to return a favor to me? But no, God says that this is a child asking his father for good things, and a father does what's best for his child, and God wants to hear our requests.
So this is, are we doing something for God when we pray? Are we letting him know something or somehow moving his hands when we pray?
Delightfully, no. You know, sometimes it's thought that by our prayer we move God. We cause him to do things because we pray enough or because our prayers are sincere enough. And thankfully, God's love for us and his blessings for us and his answers to prayer don't depend upon our sincerity or our efforts, but depend upon his promises for us. So when we pray, it's not that we are moving God. Rather, we are, as Luther once said, we're rubbing God's promises in his ears. We're saying, you promise in your word to do this, and so I declare this promise back to you.
All right. When it says, you ask anything in my name, it will be done for you. Is this a carte blanche blank check to ask of anything, expecting God an immediate and positive response?
Carte blanche, no, because I think the key three words in there are in my name. To ask in God's name is to ask as one who he's put his name on, to ask as one of his people living by his word. And so we don't want to pray thinking that God will do whatever we want. No loving father would do that for his child. Rather, our Father in heaven, our Lord knows best what we need. And so rather than expect whatever we want to be fulfilled, we ask in his name. We ask according to his word, because if God has promised something to us, we can count on him keeping his promises.
When Christ instructs us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, what is the most important thing for us to understand about the beginning of that famous prayer?
You know, I love Luther's words on the opening to the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism, that God would by these words have us believe that he is our true Father and we are his true children. Because Christ has died for us, we are now children of God. And as I said before, that establishes a great relationship for prayer, because we're not trying to earn God's favor by flattery. Rather, we're children who are in need, asking our Father who loves us so much that He gave His Son, asking Him to do what is best for us.
And is that the hardest part about prayer, trusting that what His answer is really is best as opposed to what we ask for?
Well, you know, I think so, because I've often told people that, to me, the toughest petition in the Lord's Prayer is Thy will be done, because with my sinful nature and with what my eyes see, I've got what I think is a pretty good plan for my life. It's my plan. It's not the Lord's, and the Lord's will is often far different than mine is. And prayer is trusting that God will keep His promises in the way that's best for me, even though I can't see Him at work. But what I can see very clearly is the price He's already paid to make me His child, and that's the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ.
All right, give us, on the basis of that, I mean, there's no better reason for God to answer than what Christ has done for us. It's really the only reason He hears and answers. Give us some examples of those promises that He has made, that when we pray upon the basis of those things for Christ's sake, we know He hears and answers.
Sure. Well, first and most directly, because of Christ's death, God promises forgiveness for us. So we pray that He would forgive us our sins, and He promises that He does, and He tells us exactly where He does, in His Word and in His sacraments. And so that's clearly where God says, for Jesus' sake, I keep this promise, and I forgive you. Another one would be daily bread that we pray in the Lord's Prayer. God promises to provide us with all that we need, not necessarily all that we want or desire, but what we need to live in this life. And so we have God's promise that He will provide us each day with what we need. A third example would be healing, but that one is we want to be careful there, because while God has promised to heal us, He hasn't given us a timetable for doing so. And so when we pray to be healed, it might be that He heals us today. It might be that He chooses to let us remain ill for a while longer, perhaps until when He raises us up from the dead. God promises healing, and we can count on that promise. We just can't bind Him to a timeline that He hasn't given us.
So then, since motivation seems to be what is lacking most often in the Christian's prayer life, and any Christian will admit it to you, what is the biblical way that God would motivate us to ask from Him as children ask of a dear Heavenly Father?
I think that speaking in terms of law and gospel, on the law side, God commands us to pray and to bother Him often with our prayers, if you will, and we fail to do so. And for that, we confess our sins of failing to pray as we should, and we rejoice that we are forgiven. And then I think that prayer begins with reading God's Word, with hearing His promises, with meditating upon those, and as we grow in faith, and as we learn more and more the promises of God in Scripture, the more we are ready to repeat those to Him, knowing that He hears our prayers.
Folks, it's the time of the year for graduations and confirmations, and a subscription to Higher Things magazine would make a great gift for a high school or college-age student you might know. You can subscribe to Higher Things magazine by calling them toll-free, 1-888-448-2359. 888-448-2359, or find out more about Higher Things magazine under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Tim Pauls is associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's editor of Higher Things magazine, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things titled Father Knows Best, The Power of Prayer. Tim, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Well, Pastor Tim Pauls and the congregation there at Good Shepherd in Boise, Idaho, are members of the Issues Etc. 300. This is a growing group of congregations all over the country who have pledged to include Issues Etc. in their annual budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. You know, that's really not that much when you consider it over the course of an entire year in a congregation's budget. You can put it in the mission budget, the advertising budget, wherever the congregation sees fit. If you want to find out how your congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300, just go to our website. We make it very simple for you, issuesetc.org. Click Promote at the top of the page, and there you will find a flyer that you can print off and give to your pastor, to your congregation, board of elders, church council, whatever you may have. When you ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300, it says a little bit about Issues Etc. and how the congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300. Issuesetc.org, click Promote, you'll find that flyer and everything you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300 right there. Hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. We're going to be talking about the decline of American evangelicalism. It was back in 1993 that Dr. David Wells wrote a book called No Room for Truth, and he was critiquing with a great amount of trepidation a movement of which he finds himself a member, American evangelicalism. He was critiquing the sad state of American evangelicalism. That was 16 years ago. I'm curious, going into our conversation in this next hour with Dr. David Wells, whether or not things have improved 16 years down the line. His latest book called The Courage to be Protestant, Truth Lovers, Marketers, and Emergence in a Postmodern World is another assessment, the latest assessment of American evangelicalism. From Dr. David Wells, we'll talk with him for the second hour of the program, and we'll be giving this book away to the best caller or emailer, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us with your questions or comments in the second hour of the program, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll talk about American evangelicalism, its decline, with Dr. David Wells after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.